be speaking to you. I do not want to belabor the subject. I want you to understand what I'm teaching you tonight. Has been instructed to me by God to do this. And so as Brother Mike says, this isn't meant to cause any controversy or anything like this, but to instruct us in righteous living. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And so it's really important. So what that really means is what you don't know can end up hurting you. You know, we are saved and God is with us and he does protect us, but he also wants us to understand his word. He wants us to be able to use his word. Amen. He wants us to be able to be guided by his word. And when we come into these confrontations in this life with dark forces, he wants us to be able to identify that and to overcome it. If you want to live an overcoming life, you have to understand what the scripture says about the enemy and what he's going to be doing in your life. And so therefore, knowledge gleaned in the scripture can give you access to the throne of God and the ability to overcome things. And it's so very important for us to have that. It's very important. And I typically go into these subjects around this time of year. It seems like the Lord lays these things on my heart. And again, it's not to create any kind of controversy, anything like this, but to instruct us in the ways of holiness and in the word of God. So understand that. Again, understand that that is the reason for me. I'm going to not belabor the subject. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. But I am going to go back into and probably finish up this evening on demonology. I don't know if you guys were able to get the scriptures pulled up there. The scripture that we're going to use tonight. I did not bring a PowerPoint tonight. But this is in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 26. Now we're going to pick this apart just a little bit. And we're going to look at this. And we're going to talk about some stuff that the Bible has to say. Do you know that Jesus, throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cast out, there was 55 instances the Bible talks about where Jesus dealt with demons. Five of them were described to us in intimate detail. But 55 times Jesus had to deal with demonic forces. They are things that get involved in people's lives. They are spirits that manifest themselves in people's lives. And you begin to see them physically in people. What's behind people that makes them do such things. But look at this scripture as we walk through this. And then I'm going to have you kind of leave this up there as we manipulate this a little bit here and go through the scripture. Listen to this. Mark 1, 23 through 26. And there was in their synagogue. What? He was in church. He was in the synagogue. So this is how when you read the Bible, we have to study the word and we have to break it down, look at it for what it was. There was in their synagogue. Nothing in the word of God is done by coincidence or just happenstance. That word right there is straight from God. He wants you to know the devil goes to church. In the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, and he cried out, and he, yeah, saying, "Let us alone." This is so interesting. Okay, just look at this with me for just a minute. There was a man, singular, but then he says, "Let us alone," plural. What have we, plural, to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? This thing had the ability to see Jesus for who he was. Nobody else could recognize him. But this thing did. A man, singular, has something plural within him. Art thou come to destroy us, plural? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." He didn't do an interview with the demon. He said, "Come out." And when the unclean spirit had torn him. Torn him means, that's old Elizabethan language for the spirit threw this man onto the ground and violently convulsed him. So if he was to be here right now, you would see this man fall to the ground and go into convulsions, violently convulse, screaming with a loud voice, and it came out of him.
Amen.
Interesting scriptures. Singular, plural, back to singular, plural. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us wisdom as we walk through the word together. Lord, help us to understand the word. Help us to know it. Help us to let it inundate us. Not that we hear the word, but that we would live the word. That we would understand it with our soul and let it bend and break us and not let us try to bend and break it. But God, let us be doers of the word and hearers of it, so that we can be prepared for what it is that we are to encounter in this world as we go along. And God, we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you would leave that up there just for a few minutes. I made a particular statement to you guys, and I don't want to reiterate too much, but I want you to understand this thoroughly as we preach the gospel, teach this to you basically tonight. Again, we are not doing this to cause anybody any kind of an issue. We're not trying to be controversial, as they say, but to bring the facts. Jesus dealt a lot with demons. And just because we don't doesn't mean we shouldn't. And just because we don't doesn't mean they don't exist. It's just the fact that people are very uncomfortable with a situation like this. People don't want to engage this. People don't want something like this. Let me tell you, I've been there and done that in this ministry the Lord has put me in. I've been there and seen people fall to the ground and do this. And I am just a follower of Jesus Christ. I am just a disciple. I'm a big nobody, but let me just tell you, I do the Lord's work. And when you are open to doing the Lord's work, he's going to bring people to you that need help. This isn't God trying to intimidate someone. This is God bringing someone for help. As we stated, there is a spiritual war that is going on in this world today between good and evil for the control and possession of people, of you. You're what's being fought for. Satan isn't considered, he doesn't worry about the earth. He doesn't worry about the sky. What Satan is interested in is you and your family. And your friends, those that's under addictions, painkillers, marijuana, sexual problems, rage, jealousy, envy, covetousness, those people that are on lockdown that can't seem to overcome things, they need you. They need Jesus Christ. Satan wants to deceive you and turn you from God and Jesus. And he wants to keep you from making a choice to serve the Lord, especially those who are not saved. I've been with people who have anything that can take your will from you is satanic. If there's something in your life that you just can't seem to stop, maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's gambling. But you just can't quit. It's demonic. Addictions of all kinds. Anything that takes your will from you being able to make a clear, logical choice to save your life. The Bible says the devil's mission statement is he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're doing something, or if you know somebody that's engaged in something that's going to kill you, I can tell you who that is that's behind that. If we can just understand as a church at this Friends and Family Day coming up, listen, the things that people do, it isn't that they're bad people, it's what's behind them. Notice that Jesus was talking to the Spirit. He didn't look at the man and say, "Get away from me, you crazy man. I don't want to talk to you, whoever. Keep away from me." He talked directly to what was causing this man to have this problem. If we can deal with the spiritual side of things and understand, folks, listen, you might be flesh and blood, but you are 100% spiritual in nature. It's your spirit. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. It's your spirit. You live what you believe. All the things that you do in this life is based on the condition of your heart and what drives you. You're here tonight because you love Jesus Christ. You love God and you serve the Lord and you come to church. But let me tell you, we live what we believe. What's within us. And when you can see that, that's why the Bible says to do good to them that despitefully use you. Because you understand it's not the person, it's what's behind them is where your issue lies. When you see that these addicts and things and these awful things that's going on in the world, it's not the people, it's what's behind them. If we can lay the blame where the blame is supposed to be, then we'll understand this is, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're not wrestling flesh and blood, as the scripture says. We are wrestling principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual war that you are in. Totally, 100%. Either you, listen, this is the bottom line. We go to heaven or hell based on what we do with the choice we make in the spirit.
Amen.
It's absolutely true. So why? You cannot fix spiritual things with physical things. What this man needed, there was no answer at the doctor. He couldn't have went and joined a group and got fixed. He couldn't have went to the doctor and got fixed. He couldn't have went and talked to someone and got on five steps of recovery and got fixed. He needed God and Jesus Christ to cast this thing out of him, and that's how he got healed.
Amen.
And that's what people, some people need today. We have to address the spiritual things in this life. When you read the Gospels, you immediately see that Jesus spent a lot of time dealing with demons. He constantly was dealing with them. Things that attached themselves to humans and were showing up in a physical manner that we can know and detect. The New Testament, as I said, mentions 55 different times Jesus dealt with them. And who knows the countless number of times that he dealt with them that we're not told. Who knows? Demonic influence, demonic oppression, demonic possession, where demons had infiltrated a situation in a person's life and was bringing destruction to that life because they were either undetected or unaddressed. There's all kinds of things going on in people's lives. Spiritual things that people leave go and leave unaddressed. You can see that behind the man's crazy behavior was something that they could not see. This guy was in the synagogue. He was in the church. And he was running around in the church. But people don't, they're afraid. And that's normal. But you don't have to be afraid. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people that thinks, well, I've never encountered anything. Oh, yes, you have. I will guarantee you, you are being dealt with over and over in your life with spiritual things, demonic things that happen in your family, that happen in your life. Not that you're bad. It's just this is the way of things in human life. When you see people living out of control lifestyles, Like the demoniac of Gadara who lived in the tombs and cut himself. When you see people doing abnormal things to their body, you've seen this kind of thing. People with cuts and things all over their face and things protruding in their skin and big old earlobe things and things, punctures all over cutting themselves.
Amen.
You see, you are the temple, as I said before, of God's Holy Spirit. You are, you know what you look like to God? A church. Because you are the church. Imagine if we was to drive by Index and it had some foul language on it or some despicable drawing on it. That's what God sees when we do that to ourselves. The Satan wants to destroy the image of God. And so he works in people's lives to do this to the body because the body represents the image of the living God. And so to defile it in any way that he can, he influences people's decision making.
Right.
Because people let Satan go undetected in their mind. But when you see this kind of crazy behavior, you've seen it in your life. I mean, I've seen people, you go up to where we lived at for many, many years, and you go drive down through the city of Dayton, and let me tell you what you'll see. Spiked collars. People with cuts all over them. Girls dressed up like you wouldn't believe. Satanic. Living in an abnormal lifestyle. Crazy behavior, as you would say. Those are things that are demonic things. And they have to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. It's not a coincidence that when those folks get saved, I'm not condemning them. Again, I know who the battle's with. When they get saved, they straighten up. They throw all that stuff away. Why? Because that spirit leaves them.
Amen.
When we have a problem going on in our lives, and we're going to get into some of this stuff. When we have problems in our life and we ask God to help and God speaks the word and you get delivered, that's because God gets rid of that thing that's driving that. You see. Again, never forget this. I want to say it one more time. God designed human beings to be spiritually inhabited. Never forget that. I know I've said this before. I want to say it to you again. You were created to be spiritually, not only just you living in there. You were created by God to have cohabitation with God within you. And you can allow all kinds of things to come in there and take the place of God in that place that he created to dwell within you. We already talked about the scripture where God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Right? Let me read that to you again. Jesus himself says this. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." He then goes on to say in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," your door. And this is what he says, "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him," into him, "and will sup with him, and he with me." You have got to understand what, there's a lot of significance to that statement. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about this. Because if you don't understand customs and mannerisms of the day, you'll lose the meaning of this. Sometimes we look at this and say, what does that mean to you? And people will say, well, that just means Jesus comes in my heart. Well, yeah, that's true. But back in Jesus's day, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm going to tell this to you. Here's the custom of that day. When you ate supper with somebody, that was not done like we do things today. It wasn't done at a table like what we sit at today. And it wasn't done in public like we do today. It wasn't done amongst people that you didn't know like we do today. Supper was only had with the most intimate friends and family that a man could have. You laid down on the floor. In Jesus's day, there was a little table that stood about that high off the ground. And on that tabletop, they would have everything laid out that they were going to eat that day. That's why the Bible says when all the disciples was concerned about who it was that was going to turn Jesus in, Jesus said, it's the one that dips his hand into the sop with me. You ate with bare hands and you ate together, eating from the same plates, dipping in the sop together and eating as you laid down on the floor with each other. It wasn't sitting at a table like what we see. That's an English version. That's a modern day translation of what was happening. That did not happen in Jesus' day. You laid down on the floor and you spoke intimately. That's why the Bible says, I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's why the Bible says that Jesus will tell us great and mighty things that we know not. This is what this means. An intimate. God says, when you open the door to me, I and my Father will come into you and have a family type relationship with you. A father and a son, a father and a daughter relationship with you, where I will share the most intimate details of my plans in heaven with you.
Amen.
That's what that means.
Amen.
And if you understand the day and what they did in that day, now it enhances the meaning. But going with the scripture, what it tells us is, there's an opening within your soul. A place that you can control what comes in and what you shut out. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man opens that door, I and my Father will come in to him. Let me tell you. You can open that door to many things.
Amen.
You can open it to drunkenness. You can open it to marijuana. You can open it to violence. You can open it to jealousy. You can open it to fornication. You can open it to adultery. You can open it to all sorts of evil. And when it comes in and makes its abode, it will make a physical appearance in your life. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Satan knows that if he can get in your mind and influence how you think and influence your decision making, you'll be his in no time at all. We have to remember, we worship God in spirit and in truth, and we have to deal with things in this life in a spiritual manner. Even though we live in this physical existence, we have to live a spiritual life. This is the conundrum that we're all in. How do I deny myself these things that I see with my eyes that I want so bad, but's gonna cause me all kind of angst in my life? How can I overcome these physical things? Because you have to be guided and led by what's within you. And you have to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Him to walk your steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You have to walk behind the Lord. And sometimes it goes directly against what you want. There's the battle. There's the cross you have to pick up. You have to do what's right in the Lord's sight. 1 John tells us the key to successful prayer life. It says this, you need to write this down, I'm telling you. We receive the things we ask of Him because we keep His commandments and we do the things that's pleasing in His sight. You want to get your prayers answered?
Amen.
Do those things.
Amen.
What Jesus say the greatest commandments was before He left? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what? And your neighbor as yourself. Right? He said all the law and the prophets hang on that. Do that. And your prayers will be answered. But if you live like a devil, if you live like a demon, and if you do the things that are not pleasing in God's sight, any good father would not reward bad behavior. Amen. Very simple. Very clear for us to understand. Demons can cause discord in the church. The Bible says this is something that God absolutely hates, is when people create discord amongst the brethren. Satan loves to do that. Somebody gets jealous of somebody else. Somebody doesn't like the way this guy preached versus this guy preaching. Man, why didn't she get to sing again and why can't I sing? Been there, done that. And then the next thing you know, brothers are at odds with each other. And Satan fans the flames. Should not be this way. This is not my kingdom. It's my God's. I am an instrument, a tool in his tool chest. I'm a preacher of the gospel, a pastor called by God. This is what I do. This is what I was called to do. It is not mine to claim. I work for my master and I want to see souls get saved. I don't do this to line my pockets with gold. I don't do this to fleece God's sheep. I don't do this for any other reason but to see you blessed and live for Jesus Christ and make it to the glorious heaven that God has prepared for you.
Amen.
That's my purpose. It's a good thing when you know your purpose. It's a good thing. Again, Satan's primary mission statement is to steal, kill, and destroy. One only needs to look deeply into their lives and see if there's any one thing that you just can't seem to overcome. And there you'll find a stronghold. If it's something that doesn't belong or something that God would not have you engaged in, let me tell you, if you're holding on to that, that's a stronghold of the devil and you need to turn it over to the Lord.
Amen.
For the unsaved, there are many. Because even though they don't know it, they serve Satan. He's their taskmaster. And what he desires, they do. Even though they don't even know it. You see. Come on, I had 4 other siblings that are all dead. I just buried my brother. I buried my oldest brother that was living about 8 years ago. Then I buried my next oldest brother right before my dad died in February of 21. Then I buried my dad in September of 21. I watched both of my brothers who wouldn't care a bit for me talking to you about this right now. God rest their souls. But they were both addicts. I watched them get saved. And I watched them fall back. And I watched them try. And I watched them fail. They couldn't overcome the compelling. Cocaine, painkillers, that is running wild in Eastern Kentucky. Some of you probably know someone. If not everyone in here, probably know someone. If you have sins in your life that is unrepented of. In other words, things that you haven't turned from. That's these things. Things that are spiritually unclean. You need to repent of those things, you see. Repent of those things. I have seen people in this ministry that God has put me in my ministry fall to demonic influence. Their lives and what they are engaging in, it gets worse. It's bad. I'll take my brother for example for you. I'll speak transparently to you tonight and tell you of my family. Both of my brothers was collegiate. I mean, they were athletes. Unbelievable. Either one went and wrestled collegiately. One could have played football, baseball, whatever, pro. I watched them going from workout crazy guys, working out all the time, running all the time, gym all the time, to when Jeff tried one hit of cocaine and said, "What's so bad about that?" And I watched this stellar man spiral out of control. Like a football thrown downfield. His life was all upward until it peaked at that moment and then just started spiraling perfectly downward. Gone, gone, gone. Began to lose. Lost his wife. Became a deadbeat dad, never saw his child anymore. My dad had to raise his children to losing his health, to losing his teeth, to losing his hair, to losing his leg, to losing his life. Because he couldn't quit. That's demonic. If deliverance would be present, if a life was, if he was to be saved and delivered totally, surrendering himself to God, he would be right here tonight.
Amen.
I know he would be. I watched that with my own eyes. I lived it, you see. And then I've fought that fight with other people throughout these 30 years. Going to meetings with them. Praying with them. I've watched it. For the most part, demons are known to us by their function names in the Bible. We don't know exactly what kind of a fallen angel that they are. We know that there are different kinds because the Bible tells us so. But they're particularly named for their function names. The function name will tell you what particular demon this particular demon is specializing in when it comes to inhabiting a human. What it does particularly well, what its particular mission is within that human being. For instance, a spirit of divination. We talked about this before. There is a demon that can inhabit people that can divine or fortune tell. Christian people get engaged in this all the time because they're not aware of this kind of thing. We think it's just fun, right? God says it's an abomination. God says this kind of thing will surely put you into hell. Witchcraft is the sin of rebellion. You are directly involved with demonic forces when you get into a spirit of divination. In the book of Acts 16, 16 through 18, this is what it says. And I read this the other night, but I was really hurrying through this. And I can't believe I've been talking for 31 minutes. I'm doing a podcast right now. I'm sorry. I'm going to hurry, Mike. I promise. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. It says, met us, which brought her masters much gain by her fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved in the spirit, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out. And she lost her capability of telling the future. And then they took them to the law because the masters lost their living that the demon was providing. So there's a spirit that we get from its function, we get its name, a spirit of divination, a demon that can soothsay and tell the future. So when you read horoscopes, and when you see these tarot card readings, or a palm reader, run. Do not engage that. There is a demon tied to that. A familiar spirit. We were talking about this today. A familiar spirit. This is another demon that gets its name by its function. This is a necromancer. A person who tries to contact the dead. This is a person who's a medium, right? A clairvoyant, a spiritist, right? People that typically use drugs, where we get the word pharmacy from is a Greek word, pharmakos, is where we get that drugs that produce hallucinations, that can make us see things that we think are real. We see this instance of a spiritual manifestation of this familiar spirit. We see this manifestation several times in the Bible. One of the most famous ones, if you will, is when King Saul went and talked to a witch, and he specifically instructed his people, go find me a person who has got a familiar spirit. Samuel had died. Particularly, the kings got their information from their prophets, and Samuel had died and he was worried. And so he went and talked to a witch. And by the way, that's where they get for Star Wars the word Endor. He went to the witch of Endor and consulted this woman that she could pull up Samuel so that she could talk to the dead. Now we know that Jesus tells us there's a great gulf fixed between us. You can't talk to the dead. And they can't talk to you. That's what the scripture says. And so when you necromance, when you talk to the dead, you are in direct violation of God's law. And it's something that a demon will do to draw you away from your relationship with God. And you're opening the door. And we know that this witch pulled up a familiar spirit that looked like Samuel. But here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire that uses divination or an observer of times, an enchanter or a witch, a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. There are people who there are demons that specialize in the capability. And listen, and I've heard this so many times. But Pastor Jay, you don't understand. I went to this lady or this man, and they were able to tell me exactly what mommy looked like. And they told me what daddy said. And they told me exactly the things that no one else could have known. Well, they told me their social security number. They told me what color they liked. They told me about the family trip that we took back in the day. And they described daddy to a T. And when that thing began to talk through her, Pastor Jay, it was my dad saying hello to me. No, that was a familiar spirit who is able to take on the familiarity of that person. Amazing what the devil will do. That's why it's called a familiar spirit. It takes on familiarity of someone you know to dupe you, to deceive you, and to get into you. This is a spirit. A familiar spirit manifestation. And there's so many of them, but I'm just going to go through a few more and I'm going to try to be done with this. A spirit of infirmity. We talked about that. A demon who gets his job name from creating disease and physical ailments within people. We talked about this one the other day. Luke 13, 11, 12. And there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He cast the demon out and the woman straightened up. So there's demons that can cause you physical sickness. Physical sickness. Bill prayed for me on the way over here tonight. I've had a killer headache for 3 days. Bill calls me up and says, "I think this is spiritual." He prays for me. My headache goes away on the way here tonight. He didn't know I'd be talking about that. Then there's a deaf and dumb spirit, the scripture calls it. This is one that creates deafness, mute, blindness, mental illness, ear problems, suicidal, foaming at the mouth. Matthew 9, 32 and 33. And they went out and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spoke. And the multitudes marveled. So there's demons that can cause physical ailments in a person. But yet, we don't see it that way these days. We want to treat the physical. Well, there's got to be a pill that you got to take the gospel pill to get rid of that. You got to have Jesus Christ get rid of something like that. No matter what you do, there are treatments they could treat this person from left and right, and it would never heal them because you got to get rid of the problem. The root of the problem was the demon. Then there's a spirit of bondage. And I'm just going to read to you a couple scriptures here. And then I'll come to a close. In 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgive it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us." Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthian church. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." In other words, the church back then knew exactly what the devil done. And they knew his tactics. And you have to, and I have to know this. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, it says this. "Now the Spirit speaks expressly." The Holy Spirit says that in the latter times, these times we're in, "some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Demons that create doctrines. You want to hear some of them? Tell me. You'll know some of these. You'll know denominations that do these things when I mention them to you. And let me tell you something. I didn't say this God said this through Paul. I'm not trying to be controversial. It's answered right here, but listen at this. You're going to know some. And I can tell you that it's a doctrine that comes straight from the pits of hell. Because why? Because God said it. Listen. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Do you know anybody forbids to marry? Forbidding their people to marry, commanding to abstain from certain food on certain days. Forbidding to marry, abstaining from certain foods, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word. One of the things it says right here is an ability to identify a doctrine of a demon is through dietary law. Forbidding people to marry. Do you know some of those? Yeah. Forbidding to abstain from, forbidding to eat certain meats. Yeah, that comes from the devil. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. These are demonic things. Listen, there is no sacrifice that you can make that can outdo the sacrifice Jesus has already done. If we try to do something through our works or from abstaining from certain foods or something like this, we are negating the cross and what Christ did upon it. He did it all right there. Nothing else needs to be done. You cannot do anything with your physical hands to save yourself. It was done at Calvary, and you have to believe.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Stand with me. Tammy says,